Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you so much for the Word of God. For without the Word of God, we are actually nothing. But because we have the Word of God, then everything that you are to us, in us, and through us has meaning. But without the Word of God to give it an expression, we are lost. So today I ask that whatever I say, whatever I share through the Word of God, that everyone is blessed by an understanding that maybe they hadn't had before in Jesus' name. Anoint them to hear, anoint me to deliver. Between both, much can be accomplished in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, Sunday mornings we've been talking about literally six things that are vitally important in order for you to succeed, not only spiritually, but naturally. And a lot of people do not understand that just because you come to church doesn't necessarily mean that you will be spiritual. Because there are people that are churched. That's as far as they go. But when you're spiritual, when you're a spiritual person, it means that your natural life reflects your spirituality. Hallelujah. And so we gave 6 points. And I love giving points because it gives us a good focus on what we're trying to share. The 6 points were, number one, understanding the Holy Spirit is your mentor. We covered that. Number two, God starts by developing a new way of life in you. And number three, self-examination of our heart. Number four, knowing how to walk before God and men. See, a lot of us know how to walk before God, but we're very careless of walking before men. Number five, to understand authority and live within its perimeters, naturally and spiritually. And number six, as you prepare for natural retirement and death, you must prepare for eternal life in your spirituality. As you leave natural rewards, believe it or not, you also leave eternal rewards. There's a natural inheritance that you leave, and there's a spiritual inheritance that you must also leave. So point number two is what we're going to focus in on this morning. This is God starts by developing a new way of life. So if you will, open your Bibles up to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. There are some areas that are so well covered, you hear them so often used by believers that they lose their punch or they lose their power. If you're spiritually minded, you have life and peace. And a lot of times we hear that so much that we don't really realize how important it is to understand that statement. If a Christian is not at peace within his mind, that's the first sign that he's not spiritually minded. There is a peace that comes with all of us in our thinking when we're spiritually minded. It doesn't mean that everything is going to be great. It doesn't mean that we take the care of responsibility. You know how people say take care? I know what they're saying. They're not saying take anxiety, take stress. What they're saying is take the responsibility that is necessary for a good day. That's how I take it. When people tell me take care, I say, yes, I will. You know, I'm not taking it negatively. I'm taking it positively. That means that I will take the responsibility to see that things are done correctly for me today so that tomorrow will be better. Amen. And so that's just one statement, you know, to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Well, another one that we talk about a lot, and yet we don't realize the importance of it. We've literally downplayed it. And that is the new birth. Because we hear the statement, you must be born again. See, I am thoroughly convinced that that is probably one of the most misunderstood statements in the body of Christ I know of, is the new birth. Because the new birth is the whole focal point. It is the very key for God to mold and shape you spiritually. And yet people don't understand that. They say the new birth. I think it was June was telling me that a couple was going to your sister's church. And they'd been there for a little while, and they heard this term born again, and so they left the church because they want nothing to do with this born again stuff. And yet, they don't realize that's the whole crux of them going to heaven, is the fact they're born of God. But in 2 Corinthians 5:17, this is very interesting. This is an area that a lot of people don't really understand. At verse 16, it says, "Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh." Boy, that's a powerful statement right there. We're not supposed to know anybody after the flesh. You know, when I got born again, I still knew people after the flesh. "Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more." Isn't that interesting? He tells us that we're to know no man after the flesh, and then even we're not to even know Christ after the flesh. Isn't that interesting? Then he goes on to say, "Yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Now we're going to stop and we're just going to take a focus on point number two. And what was point number two? Point number two was God starts by developing a new way of life in us. That when you get born again, the first thing that you do not think is that I just came out of the womb. Do you know, just like natural birth, did you guys think when you came out of the womb as a little baby, I just came out of the womb? No. And so, therefore, even if we're at the age, whatever it is, that we get born again, whatever age that is, we don't think, I just came out of the womb. See, we don't think we're just born out of the loins of God. We don't think that way. You hear so many movie stars that get saved. And the church exalts them into wonderful positions. They get into their testimony, their expression of their new birth. And a lot of stuff they share, especially public, is garbage. They have no business even being put into a position until they develop as a human being. It's funny. You know, the first time little Lindsay was brought to our home and laid in our arms, I never spoke to her and said, "Now, Lindsay, I want you to be responsible to see to it that you drive our cars properly." You know, you don't treat babies that way. And you know what? Dad Hagen shared something with me that when he talked on new creation realities from E.W. Kenyon's book, the thing that I got more than anything else out of his teaching was the fact that natural growth and spiritual growth are synonymous in the Bible. Yeah, I thought it was very interesting. Like 1 John, when I broke the mind of that book, he addressed a warning to the Paideans against the technon. Technon means a young adult or one who's possibly in his teen years. Isn't that very interesting? But then whenever he uses a warning against the Paidean, Paidean is a child who's still willing to be under the tutorship of the parents. He's one that's teachable yet. Where technon might not be teachable, he might be in rebellion because he's reached the age of accountability where he rebels a lot. Now, I've never known any teens to really rebel because they've all been mature, they know what they're doing, and they tell us what to do as parents. Amen? So we don't have that problem. You know what the age of accountability means? It means the time that you're accountable to your own decisions or choice making. You know, it's very interesting how people look at scripture out of the Old Testament, not realize basically there's some wisdom that comes out of the Old Testament, especially in the area of Proverbs, Psalms, and especially about children. And see, many of us don't realize, but children had to be raised from a little baby on up into the ways of the Lord. And see, many of people didn't understand that when you as a parent confess publicly the Word of God, your children had to be there doing the same thing. So children literally matured at the age of 13. They didn't have the influence that we have today. And so back there, and you find the writer say, raise your children up in the way that they should go, so that when they, now, the King James says when they grow old, they will they shall not depart from the Lord. But literally what it's saying there is you train up a child in the way that he should go, and then when he gets to the age of accountability, he'll make the right decision. See, it's not when he grows up he'll stay with God. It means that as he grows up, he'll remain in that position with the Lord. You see, and our children today, they have, you know, I'm glad I was born when I was born, and I'm glad I was raised the way that I was raised. I'm not happy for everything that I encountered as I was being brought up, but I, you know something? To be a child or a young person today, in this day and age, there is much to distract you from spiritual things. You have to be focused on purpose, to be focused to develop as a young person, as a child or a teen. You have to remain focused in order for any hope anything that is spiritual out of you. You know, we didn't have the full benefit on our first children, but we had more of an opportunity with Lindsay as she grew. But I'm proud of all my kids. You know, just the other day, Saturday. Yeah, well, that was yesterday, right? I love it when my son walks up to me and just starts saying, hey, you know, Dad, the Lord said. Boy, what an honor that is. You know, what an honor to know that your kids consider the Lord. That's important. And I'm proud of Tim. I'm proud of the way he does things. I'm proud of his workers that he works with. I'm just proud of everything that he does. You know, I just wanted to share that with you, Tim. But Tim would be the first to tell you, I didn't raise him in a religious home. As a matter of fact, the more I tried to be religious about something, the more frustrated I got. And I began to realize, just like with children, children get to this age of accountability, or the age of their, what they consider responsibility, and then you as a parent, you begin to buck that. Well, you have the same thing in the church. You because the church doesn't focus on how old they are in the Lord. They focus on what the Lord's telling them to do rather than developing spiritually. Many times people say, Pastor, what do you think I need to focus in on? And I turn to them and say, grow up. Yep. If you would just grow up, you'd find direction for the Lord. You know, a lot of times the Lord doesn't give you direction because you're too stupid to take it. Mm-hmm. Yep. Oh, shut up, John. So we don't think. You know, when I got off my knees, I ran down there and received Jesus. I didn't think. I just came out of the womb. I didn't think that way at all. But yet I was a 24 or 25 year old guy. And yet, for some reason, spiritual things didn't mean a hill of beans to me at that time, because I didn't understand them or know them. I got back in this reception room. They called it, I forgot what the church called it, but it's the Baptist church. And my understanding of spiritual things was all churches loved each other. That was my understanding, because I wasn't raised in a spiritual home. So I thought, you know, this church would surely love the church down the street that I really wanted to go to, because this church seemingly didn't like speaking in tongues, but this church down here did, and I wanted to go to the church that spoke in tongues. And so the guy handed me this form. He wanted me to fill it out and become a member of the church. And I said, well, you know what? I don't really want to become a member of this church. I want to become a member of the church down the street, because they speak in tongues. The guy sat there and he looks at me. Okay. And he ushered me out. Didn't even tell me anything. Nothing. Thank goodness that I had some relatives already saved and was going to the church, and just led me right over there. But you know, it's funny, you know, they'll receive you in the new birth, but reject you every other way, you know. Well, I found you can be in church all your life, 50 years, and you're just a 50-year-old baby. Amen. You know, because you haven't grown up. Now, when you get into 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it's very interesting that the Apostle Paul gears in on some information that he tells us about becoming a new creature in Christ Jesus, or the born-again experience. Now, follow me very closely. He said, "Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more." He says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." And we read that verse and we get very religious about it. But until you know what he's really saying there, it doesn't have the impact that it should for your life. When he says, "Henceforth know we no man after the flesh," he wasn't saying that we don't know somebody after the flesh. He was saying that you, and including anybody else, you've entered into a new structure, a new kingdom that you never before lived in. You've been birthed out of the loins of God, and you are now set for a whole new way of living. Amen. That's what he's saying. And that you've got to know you'll no longer live according to your natural man, but according to your spiritual man. Oh, that's a new concept. Then he says, even though you've known Christ after the flesh, he was saying, even though you understood the Lord Jesus Christ according to natural knowledge, you're going to know him entirely different now. So many Christians don't know how to put down how they thought of the Lord before they got born again. You tell people all the time when they come into the kingdom, come fresh into the kingdom of God. You tell them, do you know what it means now to be born from above? Oh, yes. But they never take in their thinking the thought that I am 1 hour old, or I'm 30 minutes old, or I'm 5 minutes old. They don't think that. But we do natural babies. You know. And if you try to tell these people that they are a baby, you'll lose the fellowship you have with them. They can't handle that. Well, next time, you ladies, next time you have a child come right out of the womb, don't you tell me they can't drive a car. Don't you tell me that they're not responsible for their own finances. No, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Jesus said, I'll tell you who the greatest in the kingdom of heaven is. One who thinks like this little child. You're starting fresh. You're starting all over, buddy. Your life is not what it used to be. You are now a new creature in Christ Jesus. You know what the Greek word for creature there is? Look it up in your Strong's. Not the new stronger Strong's. I have no respect for that concordance. But I'm talking about the older Strong's concordance. You know what they call that word for new creature? It means, are you ready? You are now birthed to the original formation. Yes. Now, it's talking about you spiritually, not physically.
Yes.
Unless you change to be a good looker. Original formation. Do you know what Adam and Eve's names were? You know who titled Adam's name? Thank you. God. Boy, that was a deep mystery to some of you. Do you know what Eve's name was? The mother of all living. Right? Guess where her name come from? Thank you, Adam. But God called them both Adam. You find that in Genesis, I think it's 4. He said, they are both called Adam. Well, the translators didn't know how to deal with the words. Because the word Adam, they just decide to just bring them together. But the word Ah is father. And the Hebrew word for dam is blood. So you put the two together and it's Adam. But if you separate them, it's father's blood. Or we could say this, Adam and Eve were both had the life of the father in them, spiritually. 2 Corinthians 5:17. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. The life of God is in you. When you're born again, the life of God is in you. Now here's the thing. This is the easy part. Get the life to come out of you. Easy. How? You can live like hell and tell somebody you're a believer. It's the easiest thing on planet Earth. Live like hell, no control over your mouth, no control over your actions, no control over anything, and call yourself a Christian. Better yet, put a denominational tag on you, and it's real easy. But I'm going to tell you, broad is the way to destruction, and many there be to go. But God's way is very narrow.
Amen.
And it's the only way.
Amen.
Any other way, you ain't going to cut it. You ain't going to make it. Boy, after listening to those two tapes of that man and woman that went to hell, man, I tell you what, I had to tell Sue, I got to cut these tapes off. I need to go do a checkup from the neck up. I want to make sure I'm saved. I would not want to go to that place of torment right now. No, thank you. Boy, that brings a sobering reality to you to be eternally lost. Then you see Hollywood setting a pace that it doesn't really matter where you go when you leave this veil of flesh. I was watching this one Western, and he just before he shoots the guy, he says, "Monday I'll see you in hell." He has no idea what he's talking about. Because I'll tell you, that is not the place you want to go and stay there until the great white throne. It is a place of torment until the great white throne. Then it goes into the lake of fire. No, thank you. Can you imagine being mentally disturbed, diswrought, and so you want to escape the hell that you go through here, and you take your life through suicide? Didn't you end up there? You jump out of the frying pan right into the fire. The only cure for mankind is the new birth. That is the only cure for mankind. Now, notice what he says. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, a creation. He's in another formation. He's restored to the original spiritual state. Now, here's the problem. How to get a person out of that? That old nature that he used so accustomed to live with, and getting into the new nature that he needs to get in with. Well, thank God for the Word of God.
Yes.
The Bible tells us very clearly how to do that. True. But you know something? What's real frustrating is people's age of accountability. It's real frustrating. So the Apostle Paul did us a favor, and if you have pencil and paper, I want you to write these down. I want you to really think on this, and go to your Bible, and take time to read it in this progression. Go to Romans chapter 12. Go over there. Boy, when I went through this, and God began to break it down for me, man, it was an indictment on me. Boy, what an indictment on me. I hated reading. You know, when God gives you revelation, it doesn't mean that He points a finger at everybody else when you get it.
That is right.
He puts you on the block and says, "You know what this says? Moi."
Mm-hmm.
He puts you right there. Here it is. Romans 12, verse 1. Let's read it. "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice." Like it. "Holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service." Yeah, I thought that was very interesting, the word reasonable. You want me to give you the Greek understanding of that word? Logical.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what seems reasonable is just logical.
Yep.
It's a logical service. Now notice this. "And be not conformed to..." to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Powerful. But a religious mind does no justice to these. But yet those verses are very powerful. Literally, the word here, conformed, but be ye transformed. The word transformed is literally metamorphosized. It means in the cocoon one shape and out of it in the other. Tim, you mind if I tell your vision? Or better yet, why don't you tell your vision of the mind renewing thing? Would you come up here and share that with the body? People would frighten you. I can't remember the full story, so get up here. When Tim shared this with me, I was stunned. I was mesmerized. It was definitely from God. So share that.
Oh, okay. I didn't know what he was talking about at first, but what it was pretty much the only vision I ever had. And it was at the time when things were going bad for, Jimmy, what was his name? Yeah, Jimmy Swaggart and stuff. And I was praying, and I said, Lord, you know, I was saying to myself, I don't ever want to be led astray. And I just want to know your perfect word. And I just want to know that it's the right word, and I don't be led astray by following things that are going on around me. And I was sitting there praying. All of a sudden, I was on top of a roof, and the wind was blowing really hard, but yet there was a butterfly right in front of me, perfectly still. And the Lord was telling me that the wind's a doctrine, may blow and blow, but my word, the butterfly represents the word, will always be true and still in your life.
Amen. Thanks, sir. Mm-hmm. He said even though it was very windy on the roof, that butterfly was just right there. And that's what mind renewing is. That's when those holy wars were going on and had a lot of people confused because their idols were falling off their footsteps. But you see, a lot of these idols were under wrong teachers, wrong doctrine. It takes the Holy Ghost to renew your mind. I don't care what anybody says. The glory of men can't help you. It's the glory of God that's the key for you. And that's where the Holy Spirit comes in. But I'm going to share something with you real quick, like, that you need to make note of. If you don't get it all, that's okay. We've got this typed up. We can have a bunch of them given out to you. Would you like that instead? We already got them typed out. See, when we look at Romans 12 and we say metamorphosize, or your mind has to be thoroughly changed, basically the best way to say it that we can relate to it, now this is a negative way, but it's a positive. Your brain has to be washed.
Right.
Has to be cleansed. You have to think differently if you're going to be a new creature in Christ Jesus. You have a whole new way of living. You've got to see it that way.
Right.
And you've got to take credit for the age that you... If you've been 5 years in the Lord, you're only 5 years old. You've got to think that way. And yet, some people are 20 years in the Lord and they're still babies. Because they don't know how to submit to the mentorship of the Holy Ghost. So when we look at these first three verses, and he says, the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God, I finally understood the progression there. I never looked at the good as being a participant in a local body. I never looked at just the good. That's the first place you find yourself in the local body. Nowadays, in the American culture, you don't have to submit to nobody. You can do your own thing. After all, they got cast stations on all four corners. If you don't like the way you're treated in one place, just switch to another gas station. Well, it's the same way with churches now. We got one on each corner, you know. And so you try to bring a disciplinary action to a little brat. And, well, I don't like this church. I don't want another one. And yet, that's not what it's about. Authority is not designed to control you. Authority is designed to help you. You know, it's the way God works. That's how God ministers to people on planet Earth. He does it through the structure of authority. Thank God for policemen. But I don't thank God for every policeman. But I thank God for the authority that they represent. You understand? But that doesn't necessarily mean I enjoy every police officer that's on call of duty. Just like, you know, we always look at the churches getting ranked on or criticized on when a leader falls. You know the police department? When you find one of those leaders fall, they get criticized too. Why? Because they represent something that shouldn't go haywire. But they do. But it doesn't say, just because you have bad policemen or bad Christian leaders, it don't mean you throw out authority just because you have a few bad people in it. You know what I mean? Now, I thought this was very interesting that when I saw in verse 3 that a person should not think more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God has dealt to each man a measure of faith. So we're to think on an equality, not only with each other, but with God. You see, a lot of people, they're living in a realm where they've never asked God, you know, how mature am I? I did that one day and it was the worst thing I ever did. God will let you know. Now, you know what God is more interested in than anything else? He is more interested in your Christian spiritual growth than ministry or anything else.
Absolutely.
That is primary. Why? Because if He don't get you developed and grown up, then you're going to do an injustice to ministry.
Yes, sir.
Yep. Authority is very, very tough. I was telling... I made mention to that to Billy. I think it was yesterday, the day before yesterday. I said, authority is a real difficult area for people because people don't know how to respond to authority. You know what? We talk about faith. You know, the Bible has another teaching. Be obedient if you don't really trust your faith. Just be obedient. And it'll work for you. Then your faith will develop through obedience. Well, you know something about authority? Authority doesn't always function the way you think it ought to. But you know what? The Bible clearly says, submit to it anyway. Well, submission, you know what submission is? The power of agreement. It is not. Submission is the power to perform in disagreement. Somebody says, well, he doesn't like it, but he submitted anyway. That's true submission. It means you're in disagreement with authority, but you submit to it anyway. You know, authority is not to your detriment, it's to your good. And it's better that, especially the church, is watching over your soul. Because they got to give an account to God, not you.
Right.
And that's where we get frustrated. Because outside the bun, you don't really know what you're like. Okay. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. It means that you're to keep your head about you.
Yes.
You know what I mean. Here's how this is broken up. The renewing of the mind is not verse 1 through 3. That's just the starting point.
Right.
But, literally, the renewing of the mind does not end until you get to chapter 15 of Romans, verse 7. And that's when Paul quits talking about a renewed mind.
Right.
So verses 1 through 3 is how you submit the spiritual mind to deliver the soul. Verses 4 through 8 is locating yourself in a local body for service. That is the good. And then verses 9 through 21 is how you walk with each other before God and man. And so when you read these verses, these verses are telling you what a renewed mind looks like.
Right.
And chapter 13, verses 1 through 5, it talks about submission to authority in the world and in the church. Let every soul be subject. That comes off the word submitted.
Right.
You know something? I'm going to tell you something. There is no nobility of character in you if you can only submit to authority you agree with.
That's right.
There's no nobility of character in you. You're a wimp. You're weak. But when you learn how to submit to any authority, God will exalt you in due time in spite of the authority if they're wrong.
Amen.
God will always exalt you in due time because it is impossible for you to submit to the authority of God and yet not submit to the under-shepherd of God's authority. The two go in the same category, whether you like it or not. And if leadership abuses their submission to God, they're not regarded anyway, and you'll know it. Now, chapter 13, verse 6 and 7, the financial support of both authorities in the earth. And chapter 13, 8 through 10, how to love your neighbor in the world and the church. And chapter 13, 11 through 14, defining time loss in a walk of the Spirit, putting off the old man. And chapter 14 through, clearing through to chapter 15, 7, is how to walk with each other in spiritual indifferences and the unbeliever. That's a renewed mind. He not only told you that you have to submit your body to get your mind renewed, he goes and tells you what a renewed mind looks like. And I can go down the list with anybody and say, that person has not submitted yet. How many of you can say, in closing, if you get a bad police officer pulling you over, a nut, and he abuses you, that gives you the right now to demoralize the whole system.
No.
Well, I had a lady pull me over. It had to be a lady. How come your seatbelt ain't on? Why don't you go pick on the real crooks? $103. What did that do for me? It made me click my seatbelt up all the time. That's what it did. And when I forget, I got Lindsay, I got Tristan, I got Sue, I got my whole family that tell me what to do. Click the belt. Click the belt. Click it or tick it. I know what that's like. I think it was John Shear told me maybe I shouldn't have told you that. He got one too. I ain't the only one around here. Let's see the hands of those of you who got a seatbelt ticket. Let's see. Get them up. Huh? Good, good. Man, I felt so unholy. You know what I almost did? I almost lied to her. Well, you don't understand. I was going to tell her, you don't understand. I just went and got a cell phone. I was concentrating on a cell phone. No, suck it up. You forgot to put your belt on, period, over and out.
Right.
Somebody said, well, you know, if you go to court, you can fight that thing. I said, that's what I'm going to do. I went and paid it. So, we're dealing now with the concept that you must understand that you are a new creature in Christ Jesus. And in closing, I want you to turn over 1 Corinthians chapter 2, real quick like in closing. In closing. Really, in closing. But as is written, verse 9 of 1 Corinthians 2, but as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, and on the heart of man came not up the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. For God revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. That now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Now, when we read these verses, I want to share with you very politely. These verses is not talking about the Holy Spirit. These verses are talking about the Spirit you received at the new birth so you can know the things that are freely given to you of God. The Holy Spirit does not search the deep things of God. The Holy Spirit is the mind of God.
Right.
He's not void of anything. Now, our translators have done us an injustice. We could have put a big capital S there. But yet, when you read the verses, some of your translations have a small s talking about the same Spirit.
Right.
Which is right. Is it the Holy Ghost or it's the human Spirit? He's talking about the human Spirit, and here's why. If you don't get born again by the Spirit of God, guess what? You wouldn't know zippo about God unless you have His nature.
Right.
Because it's a nature of God in you that interprets God. Not just because you got Holy Ghost.
Right.
You want to know why? Because the Holy Ghost could talk to you all day long, but if you don't have the nature of God in you, you don't know what God's talking about at all. Did you know the Old Testament believers? They're not communicated the way you and I are today. Did you know that? Back then they communicated, God communicated to the believer through the senses. He had to appear.
Yep.
Duh. If he wanted to talk to God, he couldn't talk through a still small voice from within. He had to talk by appearing. An angel would appear. Or he had to talk by a prophet. A prophet came and expressed the word of God. And the people received it because they respected the prophet. And if the prophet was not obeyed, you're out of here. That's why the ministry of a prophet is not the ministry of the word of God today. It's Holy Ghost. Are you following me? And so God had to get you born again in His nature down on the inside so that you would interpret the Word of God through that nature. And it's your spirit that has to search the deep things of God. And He tells you very clearly here. He says, verse 13, which things also we speak, laleo, not in words which man's wisdom teach, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. That's tongues! And yet Satan has done a prime job at attacking the church and establishing one thing. You can either do with tongues or without. And tongues is designed so you can speak to God the mysteries of the scriptures of God's word. Now, the word oikodom literally means, but you have an unction from the Holy One. And it says, you're to pray in the Holy Ghost to build your most holy faith. And the word build there is the Greek word oikodom, which literally means a building that is in the process of being erected on a foundation that has already been laid in you.
Amen.
So Holy Ghost, using your spiritual tongue to communicate to God so that your spirit searches the deep things of God. And then whatever the Holy Ghost hears, He discloses to you. Well, if you want to be rich, this is how your mind renewing today is. If you want to be rich, run with the rich. You'll start thinking like the rich. That is not mind renewal. Mind renewal is if you want to go get rich, get into the Holy Ghost, and talk to the rich God that you have.
Amen.
He don't subject you to the glory of a man. And a lot of rich people, I can't stomach them. Matter of fact, somebody was just telling me, I forgot who it was. Rick Renner, he was just telling me that he deals with people that are high up in society. And this one lady is connected to the very wealthy. She's an investor. And she says that 99.9% of the people she deals with are like billionaires. You only think Bill Gates is around here? You know, Moscow's got the richest, the most billionaires in the entire world just in Moscow. Like 33 of them. Do you know what this lady said? She said, one thing I've learned about wealthy people, they are unhappy and miserable.
Right.
And of course, a poor man can be in the same fix. Poverty doesn't help neither. Did you guys get something here today? It's how the mind's renewed. arise. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, Father, we thank you. Whatever I had to say this morning, I pray that it gets into people and understand it. So that, Father, their lives will be successful. That is more important than anything else, is for their successful living. And Father, that's a desire of your heart. Whether we have little or whether we have much, we know that you want us to prosper in our soul and to be at peace and to have tranquility. And to have confidence and trust. You want us to know that our next step is an assured step. Mm-hmm. That Father, as long as we have you, we have success. And so Father, right now, as we have all our heads bowed, I just want to deal with one issue, and that's this, Father. That if there be anybody here that is known about Jesus after the flesh, Father, we want to introduce Jesus to him after the Spirit. They must be born again. It's one thing to know about him, but it's another thing to know him. And boy, that is more important than anything else. And so, Father, if there's anybody here that has known about him, has thought good things about him, has even done good deeds, but never said the sinner's prayer, never got born again, knowing with confidence in their heart that they're a believer, then, Father, we want to administer to them today and lead them into the kingdom of light. And number two, Father, if there's a believer here that's been out of fellowship with God and wants to restore their prayer closet with him, wants to get back to that place of fellowship with him that they might have lost or slipped out of so easily. And that is an area we do slip out of so easily, is prayer. And so if there's any brothers or sisters who need prayer for praying, then we want to lay hands on them. Bring them back into that fellowship, that place of fellowship. And then if there's anybody here that has never been baptized in the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues, then Father, we want to give them that opportunity. So if you fit any one of those three areas, if you're here this morning, just please slip out and come forward. We'll pray with you. We won't do anything to embarrass you. We'll have our altar ministers minister to you. Anybody? Feel free to do that. Hallelujah. Feel free to do that. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, Rotoshte. Anybody? Hallelujah. Praise God. I'll let you sit on my stool. Hallelujah. Anybody? We'll just take a minute. Yes. Anybody else? Anybody else? Don't hesitate. Hallelujah. Anybody else? We won't do anything to embarrass you. This is an important time right now. Hallelujah. Anyone else? Hallelujah. Right down front here. Praise God. What a blessing. What an honor. What a blessing. What an honor. Just come right up here. Anybody else? Wait just a minute. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, Rodeshite. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for these wonderful people that have come forward here this morning. Father, we'll do such reverence and honor to them. We'll be very careful to see to it we have the mind of God for them. And so as they go with the altar ministers, Father, may they be very sensitive to understand the reason they came forward and for the purpose. And Father, may their lives be different. May it be different after this morning. Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Just go for the workers behind you. There you go. Just follow them. They'll minister. Hallelujah. 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 Just wait a minute. Hallelujah. Julie, come here, honey. The Lord has a word for you. Praise God. Praise God. I want to give you confirmation. The Lord told me to tell you that the direction that you're going, the steps that you're taking, you're on the right path. Hallelujah. You've got off those other roads that end nowhere. And you've gotten on the road that will take you on into the very presence of the face of God. And He wanted me just to confirm to you today that He's pleased with the direction you've taken, saith the Lord.
Hallelujah.
You received that?
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
What a testimony Julie is. Praise God. But I just felt encouraged to do that for you. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Where's little Sam? Is he here?
I think he's working in the kids' zone.
He's working in the kids' zone. I'll give it to him. I'll give it to him personally. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Father. As we now prepare to dismiss these people, if there's anybody that is new here for the first time or you've been visiting, we have a hospitality room upstairs. I want to encourage you to go out to the coffee bar and somebody will lead you up there. And we'd be glad to meet with you if you have any questions about the service or whatever. We'll be glad to share that with you. We just want to make contact with you. And so we want to thank you for coming. And Father, watch these people. Watch over them mightily today, Father. And may the devil be under their thumb. In Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.